Next on BYUSN, it's official. Kevin Young has his point guard in Baylor transfer, Robert Wright III. What does he bring to BYU, and why is this a big deal for the Cougars? CBS Sports put out a list of the top 150 players, and Jake Retzlaff is BYU's only player on the list. Should any other Cougars have made the cut?
College Football Hall of Fame quarterback Jim McMahon returns to the show as he looks back on his favorite memories during his time at BYU, and he was fantastic. And women's soccer stars Ellie Walbrook and Avery Frischnick detail how the Cougars will build off last season's strong finish heading into 2025.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today, Tuesday, April 15th, it's tax day. Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay, so am I. All right, we don't have to hustle as soon as the show's over to go file our taxes. I'm Jason Shepherd. This is Dave McCann.
I know two people who might not be good, so they got off the continent and are somewhere on the high seas.
Yes, I don't know if you, maybe you get an extension if you can say that you were on the ocean at the time.
I don't know, but let's check in with Jerem and Spencer on board the ship as they navigate through friendly waters. Guys, what's new today?
Well, Dave, first and foremost, my accountant told you to keep that. Quiet. We were not supposed to discuss that on live television, so we're happy to report that the taxes are done. They're filed. We did that before we got on the boat.
I think so. I probably should double check on that.
We are just outside Puerto Vallarta in the Mexican state of Jalisco.
With a few hundred of our BYU friends here watching on level 12, which is awesome.
Yeah, we've moved up a level, so technically speaking, we have leveled up today.
We have leveled up today, We're pulling into Puerto Vallarta. We can see the shore now. Everybody's going to get off here. As soon as this is over, they're like, we're out of here. We're going to Puerto Vallarta. We're going to have a fun time. But, yeah, it's been great. The last couple of days have been awesome. Yesterday in Cabo, which was fun. Eventful getting off into ships that then took you on a 10-minute excursion to the shore, to the excursion that you then went to. My kids swam with dolphins yesterday. You were on the beach.
Yeah.
Eating fish tacos like a pro.
Those were great moments, but I think the most memorable moment for my family and I was getting right off that tender boat to get into Cabo and then having to pay to use the restroom. That was something I'll never forget.
That's always great. Yeah. Cool story here, and maybe we'll talk to them later or this week, but we saw members of the cheer team join the cruise in Cabo, guys. They won the national championship in Daytona Beach, Florida on Friday, flew back to Salt Lake, flew to Cabo yesterday, got on the boat with the trophy, and they're here with us, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, one of our guys, Ammon Montenegro, who has a nice social presence and is on the cheerleading squad, he's just carrying this massive
trophy
around Cabo, waiting to get on one of those tender boats, and all I can think is, please don't break the trophy, Ammon. Don't break it. Go celebrate with the fans on the
boat. There's a joke there with Ammon in arms. I'm not going to go there, but it's just great to be on this cruise, great to have some real sunshine here and enjoy these Cougar fans. It's been an unbelievable week. And fun to have panels going on and hear stories, and everybody gets to meet these guys, and it's fun to hang out, and the unlimited buffet is also great.
Another thing I continue to be blown away by is just how much BYU and BYU athletics matter to people on this boat.
Absolutely.
And the connection they have with BYU, everybody's got a fantastic story. In fact, true statement. The people, the wonderful people, the Maxfields, Norm and Charlene Maxfield, that took me to my first ever BYU football games, are on the boat.
They said hey to you yesterday.
I hadn't seen them in more than 20 years. They walked up to me. I had to thank them because they played a huge role in getting me to become a BYU fan.
I met someone that said, hey, my mom and your grandma were best friends in Virginia. I was like, what in the world? Like, it's just fun to see the connection, the familial feel, as we mentioned. And we're looking forward to a great day on the shore of Puerto Vallarta. We'll be at sea the next couple of days. But all the conversations and interviews we've been having with people have been meaningful. It's been fun to pick the brains of a lot of great people. Tom Holmes aired on the show. We talked to Giff Nielsen yesterday. Apparently there's a Max Hall, Dennis Pitta, Austin Colley conversation that we were not involved in that's going to air at some point.
I'm sure that's going to be super favorable for you, Jerem.
I know. We may have to edit that, let's be honest. We'll see.
Guys, for now, we'll send it back to you.
Hey, Robert Wright III.
Yes.
Robert Wright III's official.
He's official.
These guys are all excited about that, by the way. Everyone asking us.
The next question I've been asked the most is, okay, so what's next? We got Rob Rutherford. Who's next? Who's next, guys? And what does it mean for BYU basketball? We'll leave that to you to discuss in Studio B.
Fantastic. Good to see you guys healthy and happy and full of ice cream.
Absolutely. More to come. Yeah, more of that's happening.
Saucer's right over here. I know where it is.
Yeah, and if, I guess if we learned anything else, it's make sure you have money if you're going to go on an excursion, especially if you need to use the baño. Yeah.
You're not in Provo anymore. Yes.
Donde está el baño?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
Oh, rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Rob Wright. This is the biggest guy they could get in the portal to help this team with A.J. Devanza coming in. He brings in speed, the ability to get to the rim. He can score. He can distribute.
The way that Kevin Young wants to play, I think it is a perfect fit. What's Trending is presented by BYU Food To Go, the MVP of your next event. And as we mentioned to begin the show, Dave, we talked about it yesterday, could not mention names. But luckily, about an hour later, it all became official. BYU officially signing five-star transfer point guard Robert Wright III. Wright comes to BYU after playing his freshman season at Baylor. He averaged 11.5 points, 4.2 assists, shot 35% from three. Top-ranked point guard in 2024 in that recruiting class, was named All Big 12 honorable mention, and then he was a part of the Big 12 All-Freshman team last year. I mean, you just look at what he did, and you heard it in that little package coming in. I think he is a perfect fit for what Kevin Young wants to do.
This will be his second run through the Big 12, which is huge. We saw Yegor Demon make progress in his first run, and it was shaky at first. Then he got better and he got better. Well, now they have a point guard that's already traveling at full speed, that's played Houston, that's played Kansas, that's played in Provo against the crowd in the Marriott Center. And so now he's going to come and run the Cougars. And this won't be, as mentioned, his first time at the Marriott Center. He put on a show back on January 28th. Let's show you all his shots that he made. He finished with 22 points. He was 6 of 12 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, made all 8 of his free throws, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. And Jason, he scored Baylor's last 14 points of regulation to force overtime. He could not be stopped.
Well, look at all these highlights. I mean, in most of these, he's getting right to the rim. And in one of them, he gets to the rim and then dishes off to somebody who goes in for the easy dunk. I mean, you see the outside shot there. Even at 6'1", that's not going to hinder him from being able to go into the paint, whether it's to score or whether it's to distribute the basketball. I love his quickness. We talked about this yesterday. I think his ability, that first step to take guys off the dribble, I think that is going to prove to be huge this year.
I love these numbers that he got in the Marriott Center with his team behind most of the game in a back-and-forth battle with the crowd fully engaged. And he was in enemy territory, and he put on that kind of show as a youngster. And now he comes back to the Marriott Center as a friend. And now all those folks will be cheering for him. But he won't go into a more difficult venue and be asked to do anything that he can't do that he didn't show us at the Marriott Center as an opponent. And I think that just bodes so well. And Kevin Young said this. He said, Rob's one of the most dynamic guards in the country. With his combination of speed and quickness, he's the ultimate floor general and makes everyone around him better. Well, look at the guys who are going to be around him. And if he can make them better, this is a team that's going places.
Well, and not only that, you look at the guys that are there. There's still some roster spots to be filled. We don't know who else is coming in. We don't know what type of talent level. I think we can all assume the type of talent level that this coaching staff has shown they can bring into this program.
Yeah.
But you have with a guy like Richie Saunders, who, again, has not made any official declaration whether he's staying or going. We assume that he's going to stay, but we don't know that for sure. But imagine a guy like what we're seeing in these highlights being able to distribute to Richie on the wing. The amount of attention that Rob Wright will garner defensively will open up so many things for other people.
Oh, yeah. And the lobs for Kay Makeda, for a guard who can get to the rim. We mentioned it yesterday, and we love Yegor, and he was fantastic in his own way. But a 6'9 guard versus a 6'2 guard, they have different strengths, right? The 6'9 guard can post you up. The 6'2 guard can run past you and attack the rim in that way and bring other guys in for distribution. Very different guards playing the same position. And with AJ and, again, some of the guys that Kevin Young's bringing in, the reason I think Kevin Young's so excited about Wright is he fits these others. Maybe even better than Yegor fit, because Yegor was kind of his own thing. Wright is a guy who's going to engage all of them and engage them at the rim. And if you leave him open, as we saw in the video, he shot 35% from three. That's dangerous enough, but you can't leave him open.
Can we put that full screen back up? Because I want to make a point. And obviously for those listening on BYU Radio, you won't be able to see the graphic. But if you look at those stats back to back, they are so much more similar, I think, than you would have expected. Now certainly there is a big difference in the three-point shooting percentage. Yegor with almost an assist and a half more. But you can see that the production overall was pretty similar, but they did it in completely different ways. So not that one is good and one is bad, but now you have a player and a point guard that's his offense is going to be a little bit more ahead of the game than what Yegor's was his freshman season.
And his defense.
Yeah, and his defense. So I think it's interesting that you bring a guy in that roughly you look at their freshman seasons and they're pretty similar, but they went completely different routes to get there. So I like the fact that you wouldn't expect any dip in production. You would expect the production to increase.
Second time through, I love that as well.
Yeah, 100%.
The first time with Yegor is no one really knew we just knew he was coming from Real Madrid. Here comes Wright, and we know all about him. He's coming from Baylor. And he performed at a high level in the same conference. And you see some of the credentials there. And he sits right next to Yegor on the all-freshman team.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you. This is the best guy they could have got in the portal to help them at this spot. And that's why there was a lot of hubbub, right? Because the teams that lost him didn't want to lose him. The teams that thought they were going to get him didn't want to not get him. And all of a sudden, he's here at BYU, and he wants to play with AJ, and he wants to be part of this thing, which is going to be self-defined each night as we go through, because it's bigger than anything we've seen.
Okay, so why is this signing such a big deal? I have beyond the stuff on the court, we've talked a lot about numbers and what he brings that way, but why is this signing such a big deal for Kevin Young and BYU? Why do you think?
Well, it says a couple of things. It says you can go get the best. You already got the number one recruit. Then you can go get others. And it's not just you have to fit this mold. Now you have to fit the program, but you can be your own self with your own set of skills, different experience levels, different sizes for sure. But I think this staff, and we'll see who else they're going to add, but I think this staff is like, who should we go get to make this team a national contender as opposed to who can we get lucky with that might choose us?
Right.
They're going out and choosing guys, which I think is a big paradigm shift.
The thing that stands out to me the most, a little bit to what you were talking about, but it shows that what Kevin Young and his staff set out to do in year one worked. There is a proof of concept that everything that Coach Young talked about in his introductory press conference and then throughout every interview he would do throughout the season, anytime people would ask what he's looking for, what he wants out of this program, he has accomplished that and shown to everybody else what's possible. And then you take specifically a guy like Rob Wright. And by all accounts, in reading what the plan was for him at Baylor, with them losing so many players, and obviously, you know, VJ Edgecombe's going to be a top five pick in the NBA draft, the system and the program was going to be shaped around Rob. So it's not like he wasn't going to have opportunities at Baylor, which already has a pedigree of winning national championships and is certainly a fantastic program in the Big 12 on its own. So the fact that all of that was working in Baylor's favor, and then BYU, with its proof of concept, was still able to say, you know what, though? We feel like not only are you a better fit with us, but we feel like we put you in a better situation to accomplish your goals. I think that speaks volumes for what this coaching staff has been able to do in a year's time.
I love that in the short time all this happens, they still have time to do their photo shoots and make it look like they've been here for a month, as we see Wright and his family. A couple of key dates to remember. April 22nd, the portal closes, which means if you're not in it, than you're on your current team.
Yes.
And so for the BYU Cougars who haven't decided if they're staying or going, at least as far as announcing, that's a deadline to watch. And then April 26th, which is just around the corner, that's the deadline to enter the NBA draft so you can go to the combine and all that stuff. If you're watching what Richie might do, keep your eye on that date because there's a deadline coming of either being in or out. Now, you get in still means you can still get out by June 15th, but you've got to be in to go do all the NBA things. So the next week and a half will be pretty interesting.
Yes, it will. Our question of the day, why is signing Baylor transfer Robert Wright III a big deal for Kevin Young and BYU? Our first response comes in on X from at Rowdy in the Rock. In year one, replacing a five-star point guard with a five-star point guard. Never would have guessed this would be the state of BYU basketball a year ago. Certainly not a few years ago.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
Good point. Good point. At Kurt JBO7 on X, the potential trio of RW3. Mm-hmm. I like how he's gotten there with that. Richie and AJ may be one of the best offensive tandems in the nation. That is true.
I'm not sure you say maybe. I think you could take the word may out of it.
That is all very possible.
Yep. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and on Instagram.
Okay, the Suns fired their head coach, Mike Budenholzer, yesterday after one season. They gave him one season. Because it's the Suns, any concern at all that Kevin Young might be on their wish list to get him back and pay him three times as much as what he's getting paid at BYU?
No, and Dave, I will thank you for not bringing it up again because nobody wants any of this to, honestly.
Isn't that a scene from Talladega Nights? Don't you wish that on me?
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. So no, there's not a concern. And I mean, honestly, I have not seen, and this happened 24 hours ago, I've not seen anything, and maybe it's out there and I just haven't seen it. I've not seen anywhere where Coach Young's name has been mentioned. Yeah. I've seen other NBA coaches that are currently there because a lot of people have lost their job in the last little while. So there's going to be some reshuffling. But right now, no, I'm not concerned. I think he wants to be here.
I agree with you. But the fact that there is a little bit of a concern is as soon as that moved on social media, you and I looked at each other and said, what about Kevin Young?
That's the first thing we thought
there's
of.
There's that.
Yeah. All right, CBS Sports put out a list of the top 150 college football players heading into 2025 and BYU's Jake Retzlaff, the only Cougar on that list, coming in at number 99. You surprised Retzlaff was the only player on the list?
I am surprised. They finished 13th in the country. They're going to be contenders in the Big 12 this year. So many players returning from last year that you'd have thought, hey, you know what, a Jack Kelly, a Keelan Mary, an All-American kickoff returner, Isaiah Glasker, Keanu Tanavasa, defensive tackle moving down from Utah, Will Farron, best kicker in the country, even the Chase Roberts. You'd have thought somebody had been in there, but Kalani's a master at going, hey, guys, only one of you made the list of their 150. Let's go prove otherwise. And they're very good at proving otherwise.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised he's the only one. And you mentioned some of the guys that I would have thought would have been given some consideration. I'm also a little surprised that Jake is as low as he is. Interestingly enough, on my way into work this morning, I was listening to local sports radio, and they had a guy from CBS Sports on to talk about this list. Now, it was not the one that wrote it, but it was the guy that was sort of involved in discussing this. He also said he thought that Jake Retzlaff deserved to be a little bit higher on. He says a lot of this boils down to if you don't necessarily have the eye-popping numbers, sometimes you don't get the credit you deserve. And I think that may be Jake's situation. I would have ranked him a little bit higher.
Whole team will go out and get some credit they deserve starting in late August.
Yep.
Baseball tonight at Miller Park, Utah Valley. They're going to make that long two-mile drive down University Parkway and play the Cougars. So we've got a rivalry night going on, 8 o'clock Eastern time. BYU Radio with Shep. ESPN Plus with Gary Shetty and myself. Baseball night, weather's going to be perfect. Let's have some fun at the ballpark.
Let's go get a dub tonight against the Wolverines. Up next, Spencer and Jerem joined by College Football Hall of Fame quarterback Jim McMahon. They take a stroll down memory lane of Jim's time as a BYU Cougar. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
He, to me, is the greatest quarterback in BYU history.
Here's Jim McMahon. a 64% passer, and of course you know what he's done with the records.
He left BYU with over 70 passing and offensive NCAA records and still holds 10 of them.
And a 49th record would be the record for holding the most NCAA records.
BYU Sports Nation is live from the Navigator of the Seas in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and we're here with some national champions.
Yeah, let's go. Hey.
BYU cheer fresh off an elite performance in Florida. Flew to Cabo, got on the tenderboats, and yes, happy to report the trophy is still intact.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you, it's pretty light.
Don't break it, Jeremy.
Hey!
Great stuff.
Yeah.
As they celebrate now on the boat.
Which is pretty cool to have them here. It was great. We added a trophy, a national championship here, which is pretty cool. It's amazing. A guy that won trophies at BYU as well that we had a chance to talk to, Jim McMahon. I'm going to be honest. Jim's the star of this cruise. He's the GOAT quarterback at BYU, in my opinion. He's unbelievable. It's great to have him here.
He's done a lot of things, but he's never been on a cruise.
He had never been on a cruise.
Until now.
Somehow they got him on this cruise. Old Tommy Homo, as he calls him. Tom told me only my family and basically Jim McMahon call me Tommy. We sat down with Jim a couple days ago, and, man, reliving the stories and where BYU's headed and what BYU's done. It was a fun conversation. Here it is.
Jim, so great to be with you on this very unique cruise setup, cruising with the Cougs in international waters. I just want to rewind to a couple of moments last night when you were brought out on stage and had thousands of BYU fans cheering for you. What was that like for you to be here and to experience that?
It's been great. I've never been on a cruise before, so this is interesting to me. I don't know how this thing is floating. I mean, it's like a city block long, this thing, and it's been amazing. People have been great. You know, I always got treated well by the fans, and when I was there and my teammates, just had a few run-ins with the administration, but other than that, it was easy 5 years.
Famously, which is fun, to be on a cruise with this many BYU fans and have this situation. I don't think in the 80s, maybe, I don't know what it was like, but you envision like what Cougar Nation would become and what this program would become. But what's it like been for you to see what BYU is now in a power league in the Big 12?
Well, I'm glad to see them finally getting the recognition they deserve. I mean, that was Lavelle's intent all along, is to get national recognition for his program. And you know, he figured the best way to do that is throw the ball. Because back then, not everybody was throwing the ball like we were. Now everybody seems to be throwing it around. But that was his niche, and he stuck to it. And it's been awesome to see. I mean, I thought our team in 80 was pretty damn good, you know. And then they go ahead and win it all in 84, I think it was. And so, you know, people have recognized the program for quite a while, but it's now getting into elite status.
What's it like for you to be around some of your great teammates? Todd Schell, Lee Johnson, among others, on this cruise.
That's been great. Gifford Nielsen. Gifford was my QB when I first got there. He referred to me as his punter last night. So that's basically what I was. And good thing we didn't have to kick the ball a whole lot my freshman year. But yeah, it's always good to see these guys. Tommy Homo, he was instrumental in getting me here. Like I said, because I've never been on a cruise, never really want to be stuck on a boat somewhere. But it's been great, and I'm glad I made the decision to come.
So how did Tom convince you to be here then?
A lot of phone calls, a lot of texts, and said, hey, we need you. You know, got to be out there with us. And it's not hard. You know, it's hard to say no to Tommy. Tommy's a great person, a great teammate, and he's done a hell of a job as AD here.
20 years, he's going to retire. He's taken BYU to new heights, and they continue to go to great places. How would you kind of summarize what he's meant to BYU as an athletic director? And here he was, this cornerback in the late 70s. Now he's led BYU to the promised land here.
Yeah, I think he's done a great job. You know, he switched. He went independent, I think, a couple of years, and he's gone to different conferences. He's been able to show the country how good this program really is, and that's the job of an AD, is to promote their athletics, and he's done a hell of a job.
Did he ever pick you off in practice?
I don't know. He might have. I mean, I don't remember a whole lot of picks in practice, but no, Tommy was a good player.
Jim, what's your perception of Kalani Sitake as you spent a little bit more time around him and what he's doing to lead BYU into uncharted territory, if you will, as we hit year three of Power Four competition?
I think he's doing a heck of a job. You know, he's I don't know the overall record that he's had, but I know he's been a positive influence for the team. And, you know, he's just Polynesian guy, man. You got to love those guys. I played with a lot of them, have a lot of great friends. But I was watching your guys' show on the top 100 plays today and saw Vice Ikahima in your guys' interview. And Vi's always been a big favorite of mine, too.
We tried to get a lot of your plays in the top 100. I would assume the Hail Mary is your favorite play at BYU. Is that your favorite play?
Only in the fact that it was Gabe Lavella's first victory. You know, it wasn't my favorite play of all time, but it, you know, that solidified, you know, he'd been I don't know how many bowl games prior to that, and you know, I'm sure he thought he was going to lose that one too. You know, halfway through the fourth, he was like, let's punt.
And you said, in other words,
yes, I'm just glad. Thank you again. Thank you again for taking a stand in that moment, Jim.
In BYU TV friendly terms, no, please.
Yeah, that's basically what I said. We finally got it through. You know, we had to use a timeout in that situation, which we probably could have used later, but I wasn't coming off the field. I wasn't going down punting. And, you know, everything turned out pretty good after that.
So what was your favorite play at BYU then?
Every play was my favorite in BYU because it was the best offense I'd ever played in, counting all the seven pro teams I played for. It wasn't even close. And it was a lot of – to me, it was a very easy offense. Everybody talks about it's a complicated passing offense. It's not really that hard. You know, you got five guys, all they can do is block. And the defense can always send one more than you can block. So if you can figure out who that guy is, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. And if that guy you can't block is 8 yards deep, I don't care. The ball's going to be gone. It's only when he's messing around line of scrimmage you have to worry about it. So to me, it was never a hard situation. It was just fun. I'm like, who's going to get this score? I mean, it's just like we had tremendous athletes, and they were always on the same page. That's what I loved about our offense. Offensive linemen knew what the plays were. They knew what the routes were. The receivers knew what the blocking assignments were for the linemen. So everybody, you know, was on the same page, and that made it a lot easier.
You've mentioned several relationships that have done so much good for you in your life, and Vice Ikahima, Gifford Nielsen, obviously Tom Holmo, and others. What have those relationships meant to you in your life as you have progressed through the NFL and now into retirement and where you are now?
Well, they've always been good relationships, and it's, you know, they're just good people. You know, I've had a great time. Gifford, he was a senior my freshman year. He took me under his wing, and he's to this day, he's like grabbing me last night. Okay, what are you doing? Keep me on the right path. But he knows I like to have a good time. And yeah, he said, "Oh, you're not playing golf then, right?" And I said, "Oh yeah, it's just golf. You know, it's not nobody out there drilling you. It's hard to get around the golf course, but I love to play." And Tommy, like I said, I've been in touch with Tommy quite a bit over the years. I've had some great relationships, and I still do.
Jim McManus on BYU Sports Nation. Lavelle Edwards had an impact on every one of his players. Certainly you had a unique and great relationship with him. What are some of your favorite Lavelle memories when you think back about that great man?
There's a lot of fun memories I had with Lavelle. I can't really single one out, but you know, we spent a lot of time together in the 5 years I was there. I met with him every Monday morning. Didn't matter if it was during football season or not. I had to meet him every Monday morning to tell him what happened to me over the weekend. You know, because he'd get a lot of calls over the weekend that I was here and I was there and I was doing all this. Thank God there wasn't cell phones back in the day. And I said, "Look, Coach, I don't know who's calling you, telling you all this stuff." I said, "I haven't hardly ever spent a weekend in Provo. You know, as soon as the game was over, I was in the car heading to Ogden and Weber State." And I said, "Yeah, I was doing that, but I was at Weber State. Nobody else saw it." But, yeah, we had a lot of fun together. We played a lot of golf together. He challenged me every year. He goes, "You beat me this year. You don't have to do the two-mile run," because I hated that. I hated the two-mile run. Never beat him. I don't think I went to the two-mile run either. I got a little chewed out for that, too. He goes, "Hey, you're the leader of the team." And I said, "Well, what would be better, me showing up and throwing TDs or me showing up and not making the two-mile run?" Yeah, we had a good relationship. And really, I only had really one blow-up in practice. He had stopped practice one day. There was a lot of chippiness going on, a lot of words being said. And So he stopped practice. He says, I don't want to hear another word out of your guys' mouth about anything. And the very next play, all right, we're in shorts and helmets. It's like a day or two before a game. And we run a play where we had Scotty Phillips, our good back, running out and up. And the defense knows our play. So they kind of, the cornerback kind of fell off and drilled Scotty. I mean, we're going to play in a couple of days. And this guy drills him. And I kind of under my breath, I go, you stupid SOB, you know. Nobody else heard me but Lavelle. And he grabs me by the face mask. He starts ripping my head around. I'm like, hey, hey. I just kind of threw him off me, and I left practice. And they sent some guys in to get me. I said, nope, I'm done. I left, went home. All afternoon he was calling. My wife, well, my girlfriend at the time ended up being my wife. She said, hey, Lavelle keeps calling. What do you want me to tell him? I said, tell him you don't know where I'm at. So finally, about 8 or 9 that night, I called him back, and he says, I need to talk to you. So I went up to his house, sat there for about an hour, and we discussed what had happened. And I said, Coach, you're the only one that heard me. And he said, I just told you. I said, I understand that, but I couldn't believe that you let that DB driller, one of our best players, and not say a word. I said, my mouth's quicker than my brain, so it's coming out. I can't help it. I said, I got my butt whooped my whole life by my parents because I swore a little bit. And I said, it just happens. It's like saying hello to me. But we got it ironed out, and things went fairly smoothly the rest of the way.
Mm. Did you know Steve would be what Steve would become? What, or did you have an inkling, or did you see something in practice where you're like, he's going to be pretty good?
Well, Steve's a great athlete. You can see that right away. He was having trouble throwing the ball, though. They almost made it try to make him a safety because he was having trouble throwing and picking up the safety blitz. But I just gave him one simple tip. You know, he used to throw a lot of, like, curveballs. His hand would do this when you threw the ball. And if your hand does that, you don't know where the ball's going. It's got to go almost like a screwball type of thing. The last thing to touch should be your pointer finger. And that little tip helped him out, and he was able to, you know, throw and turn out to be hell with QB, you know, Hall of Famer. So
we owe it all to you, Jim. That one tip, come on.
I helped him throw, that's for sure.
Well, you broke a ton of records. Do you have a favorite one, or maybe one that you're most proud of in the moment of all the NCAA records you broke while you were at BYU?
Probably the one that I was the first guy to throw for 4,000 yards. That's anytime you're the first guy to do something, that should stand out. And it was, I think it was 45 or 4,600 that year.
And they didn't keep the bowl numbers in that at the time, which is a shame.
Right. And all the time that I missed as well. I think somebody wrote a book. Ryan Tibbetts, I think, wrote a book. And I didn't even realize this. He was documenting the time that I had missed. Because I didn't play in a lot of fourth quarters or third. Yeah. So I really did that in 9 games. I had all those stats in 9 games, if you add up the time. So that was a great year.
That was unbelievable. The run of quarterbacks from Gary to Giff to Mark to you to Steve to Robbie. I mean, we've seen Oklahoma and Alabama the last, like, decade put up a good run of guys. No one has put up that run. Is that the greatest run of quarterbacks in college football history at any one school?
Oh, I think if you add up the people that went on to play after college, yeah, you could probably say that. I mean, if you're going to be a QB, that's the place to be. I mean, you get to throw the ball, showcase your talents. Depending on what kind of student you are and person you are, it could be a little rough on you. But athletically, it's a great school. It's just, you know, it was just different for me. I grew up in California. I grew up with the Brothers and the Mexicans. I grew up a Catholic kid. Never even heard the word Mormon until I moved to Utah. And then I find out my mom was Mormon. Had no idea she was Mormon until we went to Utah. She started going to the church. And we're like, what's going on? She said, oh, I've always been Mormon. Just, you know, when your dad and I got married, you had to sign a paper saying how you're going to raise your kids. And my dad said, well, we're doing this. So that's how I found out about that.
Jim, always great to connect with you. We appreciate you sharing so many memories with us. We wish you recovery in your foot and many more great golf rounds. And Pete Rozelle still stinks.
Pete was actually cool. He was cool about it. You know, I ended up getting him back. So it worked out. But he did a hell of a job for the NFL.
Yeah. Thanks for the time, Jim. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you from the Navigator on the Seas. If you want to see more interviews from Cruising with the Cougs, there's McMahon. Again, you can watch that again. Kalani Sitake, Jimmer Fredette, so many more. On demand, at your desire, BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel. Just sitting there waiting for you.
Still to come, softball gets a big win thanks to four home runs. Plus, one BYU basketball player has entered the transfer portal. Headlines are next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B alongside Dave. I'm Jason. Let's get to today's headlines.
Let's start with basketball. Of course, the big news, five-star transfer point guard Robert Wright III is an official Cougar. Comes to BYU after his freshman season at Baylor. Averaged 11.5 points, 4.2 assists, shot 35% from the three-point line. Wright was named the top-ranked point guard in the 2024 recruiting class and was All-Big 12 honorable mention. Also named to the All-Big 12 freshman team right next to Yegor Demon. Sticking with basketball news, BYU's Townsend Triple enters his name into the transfer portal. A walk-on, spent three seasons at BYU. Didn't play a lot, got in 19 games, averaged 1.2 points. We hope he finds a nice landing spot.
BYU softball beat Fresno State 7-4 yesterday at Gale Miller Field thanks to four home runs from Ilova Brittingham, Lindy Milkowski, Haley Morrow, and Maddie Udall Woolley. Kate Daly also set a new career high with 9 strikeouts. It's pretty cool. By the way, that was the kids' game. The stands looked awesome. Up next, BYU will host Utah for a 3-game series beginning on Thursday.
Baseball has Utah Valley tonight at Miller Park as the Cougars look to get things back on track. Coverage starts at 8 on BYU Radio with Shep, on ESPN Plus with Gary Scheide and myself. We got it all covered.
We got you covered tonight. Men's volleyball dropped one spot to number 8 in the latest AVCA poll after losing 2 road matches at number 2 UCLA last week. BYU will host Pepperdine for 2 matches this weekend to close out the regular season.
Men's golf is in 10th place after shooting 7 over par in the first round of the 78th Western Intercollegiate in Santa Cruz, California. The Cougars tee off on the second round at the top of the hour. And coverage of this tournament's on the Golf Channel, so I watched some of that yesterday. It's always nice to see BYU on the Golf Channel.
Absolutely. Women's golf just teed off a few minutes ago in the first round of the Big 12 Championships in Houston. BYU seeded 11th among the 14 teams competing. Big 12 Championships run through Thursday.
They're fresh off a win, a lot of momentum. Wish them the best today. BYU women's cross country and track and field signee Jane Hennigren broke the national high school record in the 2-mile with a time of 9:34.12 at the Arcadia High School Invitational. This is Hennigren's second national high school record that she's broken in as many months. Attending Tempe High School just up the road from BYU TV, she is going to be a star here on campus.
After the break, BYU women's soccer stars, speaking of, Ellie Walbrook and Avery Frischneck, detail how BYU is building off last season's strong finish as they head into the 2025 season. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Off the head of Frischneck and in! And far post loose and score! And the back of the net, the Cougs have opened the scoring!
Right on the foot of Walbrook to finish it away.
Avery Frischneck soaring in for the finish!
I think we really played our best soccer that game, and I think our best soccer is still ahead of us.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. The boat has docked in the Mexican state of Jalisco. Or is it? Did I say that the right way?
I think it's Jalisco. No, Jalisco, yeah.
He is Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. And what's a BYU cruise without representation from several elite women's athletes on this BYU in the BYU athletics department?
We got some footballers. Ellie Walbrook tore ACL last year, missed the year. They definitely could have used her on offense. She's back and feeling better than ever and excited for BYU soccer. We spoke with her in Ensenada a couple days ago.
We're so happy to be standing here with the fully healthy and recovered.
She's back, baby.
Ellie Walbrook of BYU women's soccer. Ellie, welcome to Ensenada.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here. It's been amazing. So
I read that you've been to 15 countries. Is that right?
15.
I'm assuming Mexico was one of the 15.
Yeah, I've been to Cancun, been to Cabo, and then we're going to New Zealand in 2 weeks. So
nice.
We'll add that to the 16, I guess. So, yeah.
Are you going to go to Hobbiton?
You know it. Yes. I gotta watch Lord of the Rings though, because I haven't watched it. Okay. Please don't be mad at me, please. I have time on the flight to watch it.
You literally do going to New Zealand.
Can watch all three major films on the way there.
Extended versions, of course. Yes.
I know that's the plan. So we're excited. Yeah.
I know that the injury recovery was a big deal, but you survived your flea market shopping experience as well. Okay. How was it? Was that enjoyable?
It was fantastic. Got some new Prada glasses. They may or may not be fake, but no one will know. But it's been so fun to be here. Just so grateful to represent the Y and be here with Cougar Nation. It's been awesome.
Okay, last year in spring, it was tough for you.
Yeah.
Tore ACL. Mm-hmm. You posted on April Fool's. I was like, this is a joke, right? And then it was real.
We all wanted it to be
a
joke.
Real. I was so sad. That's not easy to recover from. How's the recovery? How are you feeling?
Yeah, the recovery's obviously been long, but I've had time. Spring doesn't really mean anything, so just been taking my time. I hit my year mark yesterday, so I'm fully cleared and ready to play in the fall. And I got to get in some spring games this spring, which was really good and fulfilling. So I'm just excited to take places this fall and take off, you know?
Ellie Walbrook on BYU Sports Nation. How did you overcome the mental barrier of just trusting that your knee is fully recovered?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is my support system. I mean, I have so many good teammates, family, strength staff, just everyone trusting in me. And so I can have trust in myself, I think, has been huge. And obviously, trusting in God's plan, like, it is bigger than soccer. And I know this was all part of my plan. And I'm just excited to step on the field real time. So,
how's the team feeling? Because it's certainly always tough to come off College Cup. You want to get back to that level. Certainly not having you was hard for the offense as they tried to score and whatnot. But it feels like that group learned a lot, and now this team is ready to crank it up a notch again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, we were super young last fall. We had, 10 freshmen, sophomore, and now everyone has a little bit of experience. I'm back. Izzy will be back this week from her mission. Bocce's back in a week from her mission with experience. So just really ready to get back on the road and hopefully win a Big 12 championship. That's our main goal right now, and then hopefully Final Four. So we're really excited, and I think it's going to be a great year for us.
It's a unique dynamic that you bring up with the reemergence of multiple return missionaries.
Yeah.
So how has that dynamic shifted and changed the BYU women's soccer program?
I mean, obviously it's huge for girls to go on a mission. I mean, so much credit to them. It's hard to step away from a sport. But we just know that Izzy and Bocce are so grounded, and they're just going to come back like they never left. And obviously they had huge roles for us when we made it to the College Cup. So we're just excited for them to be back and kind of get back into the swing of things.
Cougar Nation loves women's soccer. How many people have talked to you about, hey, we love going to the games, we watch the games?
A lot of people, and it's so awesome to see so much support for women's soccer. It's a great sport, and we're just so lucky to be here, me and Avery, to represent the women's team, and it's been unreal.
How'd you guys get the opportunity to be on this cruise? Because that's amazing.
Well, that's the perks of being a captain, I guess. Avery. So that's the perks, and just so happy to be here.
Well, we wish you the best on your trip to Mordor. And
yeah, I'm jealous. That's really awesome. Yeah.
I'll take a bunch of photos. Yes. Hobbiton, love it.
Yes.
Can't wait to see it.
Enjoy New Zealand and enjoy the rest of the cruise. Thanks, Ellie.
Thanks, Ellie.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Everybody's got to go on their own journey, Jerome.
Did they let you go to New Zealand without drinks? I thought that was against the rules.
It's a requirement by the government.
I didn't know they let you in if you hadn't seen it. That's kind of weird. They'll have to watch it on the plane. They'll have time. That's Avery, a long flight.
Yes, Avery Frischknecht is on her own journey with BYU women's soccer and ready to put up some big-time numbers with the reemergence of Ellie Walbrook and others. We had a chance to speak with Avery as well about her big goals individually and for this BYU women's soccer team. Avery Frischknecht of BYU Women's Soccer wins the award for the best sweatshirt on the cruise.
Put me in, coach. Tell us about this one.
It's actually kind of funny. When I was a sophomore, I was a freshman. I didn't really play a lot. So at the end of each year, we always have a conference with our coaches. And I bought this sweatshirt just for this. And so it worked out. So I just keep wearing it.
It worked out in high school?
No, this is actually in college.
Oh, wow. Jen Rockwood got the message?
Yes, Jen got the message. Yeah.
Yeah. Jen knows. And then you were uber successful last year. What was last year like? To play more, to get in, to be on a team that obviously you guys learned some lessons that you hope to apply this year. Yeah.
It was so awesome. Honestly, it was definitely an up and down season, which every season is, but I feel like we learned a lot and we were able to come out stronger than ever, and I think it gave us a ton of good experience for this next year, and I'm really excited and I think we're going to do really well.
Can we just declare once again that you're the best Frischneck to ever have played soccer at BYU?
I don't think I can say that. I think I might start a fight.
I know, I'm like, Blake's going to DM me any second.
Don't take me there.
No. Blake is pretty dang awesome.
So many
good ones, too.
So many great Frischnecks at BYU.
The name carries weight. And I want to ask you this, too. There's so much pressure for you guys to be great every year, right? You come in, you want to play more, you guys have a certain standard. What's the positive pressure you feel of that? Of, hey, we got to keep this going.
Gosh, that's a great question. I just think it's a mindset for our team. Like, it's just expected. Like, we know that we're good, and we know that the teams before us have done good. So it's an expectation, and I think that's the positive pressure that comes from it. It's just putting on that jersey with Brigham Young on it, and that's what we know what we have to do.
I think I know the answer to this question, but what's goal number one for your team in 2025?
Win a Big 12 championship. There you go. And then keep it rolling from there. So that's what we're working towards.
We learned from Ellie that as captains, you guys sacrificed for the squad and chose to come on here. How difficult was that process of figuring that out?
It was such a sacrifice. we're so lucky to be here. But it's been so much fun, and we feel really grateful to be here. So
I know we're only 2 days into this, but what's been the best or maybe most memorable part of the trip thus far for you?
Is it bad if I say the tacos?
Not at all.
We are in Mexico.
And then just laying out by the pool and getting to know Cougar Nation. It's been super fun.
And they're from all over. And they love all the sports. That's the thing I love about BYU fans. They're not just football or just men's basketball. They love women's soccer. They love women's volleyball. They love all this. So how many fans have said, hey, we love the team and we pay attention. We know you.
So many. Every time we go in the elevator, it's, oh, what team do you play for? Oh, we love BYU women's soccer. Cougar Nation's strong everywhere. And it's fun to see where everyone's from. And we're just really grateful for their support.
Avery, great to have you on BYU Sports Nation. Enjoy the rest of this
one
vacation.
Of the greatest Frischnecks to ever play at BYU.
One of them.
Thanks,
that was
Avery.
A veteran answer by you, by the way. Right?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, if you missed any of the interviews, our shows are Deep Blues. You can find all of them at BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app. Get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
All right, we'll wrap up today's show with responses to our question of the day and today's rise and shout out. It's coming up next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day is this. Why is signing Baylor transfer Robert Wright III a big deal for Kevin Young and BYU? First response coming in from CL_living on X. The Baylor point guard already knows what it's like to play in the Big 12, and that experience will help AJ and the other new players next year.
At Caleb Pugh, Plue on X, it means we can replace talent with talent now. KY is elevating this program to something we can't even comprehend yet.
And on Instagram, James Stila, it shows that great players believe in BYU's program. That's what I talked about earlier. Yeah. There is proof of concept now, and you're getting top-tier talent buying in. It feels like on a daily basis.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun.
It is so much fun.
And they're not done yet, right? Yep. This Baylor guard, that's not the
still roster
the
spots to fill. All right, our lead voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. It comes from AndrewSmith94 on Instagram because it shows BYU is a true high destination for high-end transfers. KYU is real. Yes, it is. All right, today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Let's go with Robert Wright III, the newest addition of the BYU roster. Hey, he's going to be on the show tomorrow.
How about
that? We're going to talk to him, find out what it was like competing in the Marriott Center against BYU and how he feels about coming out there and having the rock for him.
Yeah, they were certainly not cheering him on the last time he was here,
no.
But that will be a completely different situation. I'm excited to be able to talk to him and find out what it was about BYU, because there's so many things that we can say, it's probably this.
Yeah.
Only he can answer that. And I'm excited to find out what it was about BYU that made him make this decision.
I also want to ask him what the draw of AJ is.
Yeah, and they're
outside
close.
The program.
Yeah, they're close.
For guys who are going, man, I want to play with him in that setting. it has to be real because this is the first big fish that they landed, and they're thrilled to death about it.
Absolutely. Right. Thanks to today's guests, Jim McMahon, Ellie Walbrook, and to Avery Freshnick.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. And coming up next on BYU TV, Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf will deliver the final BYU devotional of the semester live from the Marriott Center in just a couple of minutes.
That place is going to be packed. For Dave, I'm Jason. Shout out to Todd Watkins. We'll see you tonight for BYU Baseball at 6 Mountain on BYU Radio and ESPN+. Go Cougs.